You've got Caruso on the floor along with White and DeRozan. Craig and Terry, the two subs, remain on the floor. Backdoor cut. Oh. DeMar with a reverse right-handed slam. Baseline left. Oh, my goodness. He brought the house down in New York City.
Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
That's right. Bulls could potentially be the last game of the season. Hopefully not. Bulls taking on the Atlanta Hawks today. We'll get a chance to chat with Cody Westerlin right around 7:20. Make sure you're here for that. Shout out to everybody that's driving to the game right now. I can't say it enough. And girls, I try to tell people this all the time. You know, when you're going to a Bulls game, if you're on the 290, get off on Western. Don't get off on Damon. Too much traffic. Damon sucks going from the 290 to Madison. Get off on Oakley/Western. Take Oakley to Warren. Listen to me. Take Oakley to Warren and then Warren up. It'll save you 20 minutes. Because sometimes I'm driving home, you know, because we're going to go right to the Bulls game. You and I were going to go to a restaurant after this. And when we go down to 290, you're going to see all this damn traffic on Ashland and on Damon. Pass all that up. Don't be afraid of the west side. Go ahead and get off on Oakley. Take that to Warren. Fade that back up to eastbound on Warren, and then you'll get there much faster.
I think that is a grand idea.
And if you're bold enough, park on Hoyne. It's okay.
The Hoyne hack.
Hoyne is one block west of Damon. If you're not a scary berry, and I get it. Right. You're from the suburbs. You might not, you know, never park down by that way. But trust me, it's okay. I used to live there for many a year on Madison and Western.
All right.
So
it's
Hoyne,
good.
Hoyne, one block west of Damon. Park on that side street. You're right there. Nobody's going to touch your car.
Yeah, and if you don't want to take Cabe's advice, then that's fine. You can get in line with the rest of the cars and, you know, be really frustrated and angry and honking. My answer really to everything in terms of getting places in the city of Chicago, if you can, take Lower Wacker. Lower Wacker's fun.
It's fun.
I drive a lot more now because I have moved
mastered
to
Lower Wacker?
I have not mastered it. Oh. It's just I get to use it a lot more because I'm living
Park
in
the Oak Park Groves.
The Oak Park Boys. So that's one of the actually downfalls of moving to where I moved. I have to drive my car a lot more now. But I
bum rides off you.
And that's okay. I got you tonight. I'll scoop you.
I got you.
You know?
Bulls,
it all comes back around.
It does.
Yeah.
Always. And it'll be a good one. We'll get a chance to watch the game. It's going to be a great game today. I know that a lot of people are wondering whether or not Drummond or Ayo Dosunmu is going to be playing tonight. Drummond, I mean, he's dealing with ankle injury, so, you know, it's probably not likely he's going to be playing. Both of them are questionable at the moment. Drummond dealing with that one. Ayo's going to play. He's a dog. He's like, no, I'm playing today.
He wants a little piece of Trae Young, like he always does, right?
How do you think he's going to fare?
Well, the fact that he's been injured, I don't think makes me feel particularly good, but so has Trae Young. Trae Young has been banged up. He has played. Atlanta sucks, by the way. I mean, like, I know, like, we could look in the mirror and talk about the Bulls, but
who was I talking to?
They've lost six in a row.
Oh, Sam Smith said that they don't like playing with Trae Young.
Wow. I mean, that doesn't surprise me because Trae Young is one of those guys who, another one of those guys who doesn't play defense and doesn't seem to be particularly interested. At least like Zach LaVine is earnest in his desire to.
Yeah, but Trae Young will drop 12 dimes on you.
Exactly. Oh, he scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, he's so good.
Like, I don't know like what they don't. I mean, I guess because he takes too many shots.
It's because Clint Capella is past his prime and they don't have a Derrick Jones Jr. type to run the pick and roll with.
Okay.
And that's what he needs. He's a pick and roll. I'm either going to lob it up to you or I'm going to take this 4-foot jumper or, you know, get in front of you and get my layup going. And that hasn't been the case. And then they shook up the team a little bit. Got DeJounte Murray kind of, you know, holding on to the ball. You got Bogdanovich, 3-point shooter. The team isn't suited for Trae Young. So it's just a matter of, but imagine a guy like Trae. Can I just say sidebar real quick?
Yeah.
Now that the Golden State Warriors lost, you know, all I was thinking about last night was Steph Curry on the Bulls.
Go on.
A dynasty is more than likely going to be breaking up. You know, Klay is going to be a free agent in July. They gave Draymond his money. But Steph, you know, stars, you know, find another team at the tail end of their career.
Absolutely. And I think there is much good left and great, possibly.
And I would love some of that good to happen here.
I'd love it.
At the United Center. And I'm just saying it because you try to think, how are the Bulls going to change their fortunes? And not that Steph Curry is going to come and be the savior, but at least he can lead you to a place of significance, relevance, and a Steph Curry playing for the Bulls at the tail end of his career, it almost makes sense to me. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's what I was thinking about when that game ended yesterday.
Man, I wonder what if Steph Curry could do whatever he wants, which he can. What does he want? What does this? I would imagine
he wants to win.
Golden State. Do you think
he made that very clear yesterday in the post game? He was just like, "I want to win." So they want to win, and I would want them to bring Clay back because if I just play with these two guys, I'm gonna be okay. So I know he wants to win, but I can't imagine him being like a Kevin Durant type guy where he then goes to, let's say, what would be a good team in the West that could use him, or the East?
How about, what if he went to Minnesota? Philly. What if he went to Minnesota?
Oh my,
those guys.
That's there. What I'm saying.
That now that would be fun.
Carl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards.
I would almost let him pass up the Bulls just to see that, because you know the Bulls will make a mockery of it somehow, some way.
That'd be great.
But yeah, how about, man? I do like watching Minnesota play, man. I don't know if they'll ever get there to where I want them to get, but they're a blast to watch.
I think they will. Yeah. I think what we learned in the NBA, and we saw it in the 90s, I think it's still true today, and it's been true in the last couple of playoffs where you've seen guys like Luka Doncic, LeBron James, like always. But it is a league where if you can take over in a playoff game, you can come out victorious.
Yeah.
And if you have an Anthony Edwards, then you're guaranteeing yourself two wins, because he is going to will you at least to two wins. And even the Bulls of the 90s, even though Jordan would will you to a couple of victories, there were still role players that then contributed to victories in other ways where maybe Jordan wasn't, you know, putting up 35 in that one.
Bringing it full circle, since you said willing the team to win, which player on the court tonight at the United Center? Here's a question for
love
you.
Love this game. This question.
This is it. This is the question. Which player on the United Center floor tonight going into the game that you look at and say, yep, you're more money for me at the end of the game? And you know the participants: DeMar DeRozan for the Chicago Bulls or Trae Young for the Atlanta Hawks. Who do you feel better about as a closer in tonight's Bulls Atlanta game, 8:30, right here on The Score? Chuck, Bill, Bergs, Bears.
You feel so good. You feel so good about DeMar DeRozan. Let me just rattle off his last 10 games.
Please. I love this.
30 points against the Knicks, 39 points against Detroit, 34 points against the Knicks, 30 points against Orlando, 20 points against the Knicks, 31 against Atlanta, 27 against Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves, a game that they won, 31 against Brooklyn, 27 and 27 against Indiana. That's nasty.
Mm-hmm.
That is nasty. So, yeah, you love that. He even had a couple of games with 10 assists. You know, the rebounds, he's crashing the boards, what he likes to do.
But what about the fact that Trae Young can shoot any shot from on the court at any moment and make most of them?
Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to Ayo Dosunmu.
Oh.
The Trae Young clamper.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right about that.
He's Kendall Gill talked to him earlier in the week, filled in for Mullion Hall. He talked about the length of Ayo and
that's
how,
good.
You know, as a former, you know, standout in the NBA, he understands that when you have that defensive matchup where the guys just is equally as quick as you, but just a little lengthier, it throws you off your game just a little bit.
Yeah, God, he's so close to being, well, I don't know if close is the word, to being like a two-way player.
Ooh, Ayo?
Ayo, if he could score a little bit more consistently, like to like call, because I feel like we call two-way player, like you got to be a star in the league, you got to be Scottie Pippen to be a two-way player. But like that's like he's like the mini, he's getting there, he's putting it together. But to your point, that's why we got to find out. Hopefully when we have Cody on in a little bit, we'll find out if Ayo Dosunmu is playing. That actually is a huge deal for tonight's game, as we talked about right at the beginning of this segment.
Cody Westerling going to be joining us from the United Center. That going to be happening right around 7:20. We'll get him on. But let's go out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe and Grody here on 670 The Score. Let's go out to Charlie on the north side. Charlie, who do you think is going to end up victorious tonight?
I think it's the Bulls. It's the Bulls. It's a big night at the United Center. You know, one game, playoff, anything can happen. But I do think the Bulls are the better team. Very important that Ayo's playing. He has a track record of shutting Trae down. I think if you can contain Trae, we can contain DeJounte too. Need a steady dose of Vucevic in the paint. DeMar, absolutely the better closer, but the Hawks are ready for him. They're going to double-team him. Guys have to hit shots. Looking at Caruso, looking at Dosunmu. And I'm hoping to see some plays from Daylen tonight. And we're going to miss Andre. I love Andre. But maybe Sanogo will net 15 boards. So anything can happen tonight. I expect the Bulls to win. I think we're the better team. I think we can beat the Heat of the 76ers, too. The Celtics are a different story, but we'll take it one game at a time and go Bulls.
Thanks for the call, Charlie. Right now, the Miami Heat up by 7 against the Philadelphia 76ers. So if the Bulls were to win, then they most certainly would have to face the Philadelphia 76ers if it were to end how it ends right now.
Bulls play the loser, right?
Bulls play the loser of that game. But he talks about, some of the guys that could step up. You saw Adam Sanogo. I mean, of course, his UConn Huskies just won the national championship. So I'm sorry, he's feeling a certain type of way and would love to get some tick off the bench. But it depends on what the lineups are going to look like. Atlanta's known for going small. I can see them doing that today, of course, with DeJounte and Trey and Bogdanovich, obviously getting a ton of minutes off the bench. It's going to be a tough game. The problem is this, Grody, and I've been saying it since the beginning of the season, Bulls, one of the most exciting teams in the NBA. So you just know it's going to be a game. You don't know who's going to win, but it's going to be a game. It's going to come down in the final few minutes. I mean, that's what I would expect, is for it to come down to the final few minutes.
I think that in the course of the game, it actually comes down to, can the Bulls stop the Atlanta three-point attack? You know what I mean? Like that, like if they get hot, and that's just like any three-point shooting team, which so many teams are, if they get hot, it could be over quickly for the Bulls. But I agree with what most of the last caller said, including I do think the Bulls are going to win tonight. Man, I just look at Atlanta as a team that petered out at the end of this season. And I know it's different now. This game has all the meaning in the world as far as they are concerned. But I just think the Bulls, pound for pound, are better than Atlanta, period.
Atlanta gave up 157 points to Indiana their last game of the season.
Jesus. Was it an all-star game? Atlanta certainly was not.
Atlanta put up 49 points in the first quarter. I mean, excuse me. Indiana put up 49 points in the first quarter.
Oh, my God.
Now, but here's the issue.
Halliburton.
Yeah, and definitely a lot of in for him. Yeah. The other side of that, and this is the point, the thing that scares me about this game, Atlanta put up 34. Bulls aren't necessarily some high-scoring team that's going to be able to put up 34 in the first quarter, especially not in the first quarter. They've struggled all season long. I've tried to tell everyone that would listen, even Bergs, Bulls to win the second quarter after losing the first is like a lock, because then the second unit comes in and they fight back, because that's what they do. They claw back into certain games.
Does Bergs not use the information that you give her for the broadcast? Is that what you're saying?
I think I told her, and then she was all in on it afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, but I had to point it out, like, hey, Bulls second quarter victory. What happened was, Lapka was here. It was Lapka, I think it was Robbie Triano and Bergs, and I told them that I had put a significant amount of money on Bulls to win the second quarter against a particular team that they weren't as good as.
And did you win that money?
Hell yeah, I won that money.
What'd you pocket? You're not going to say, are you? Okay.
Somebody told me not to say my amounts on the
radio anymore. Fair enough. You're probably right. It's probably not a good habit to get
into. Large amount.
Because then I'd have to ask you what you lost to.
Large amount.
Okay. Good. Dinner's on you tonight.
No. Dinner's on you tonight. Remember, I paid last time.
Oh, shoot. That's right. Wait, who's driving you exactly tonight?
You got to go that way anyway.
What costs more? The gas money?
You got to go that way anyway. We both live in Oak Park.
Shoot, you did pick up the check last time, man. You did.
Yes. Mark Grody was so mad when we went to Phil's Poorhouse, right? That's what it was called? In Oak Park, Phil's Poorhouse. We get there, and it's cool, like the vibes chill. Mark Grody never had a po' boy in his life.
No, I've had one, but it just had been a long time.
Yeah. We get all this food, and the lady comes in, and I pay for it, and Grody's like so upset. He's like, you switched the samples.
Like, you falsified the check. I asked her for it back, and she wouldn't give it. You conspired with her, man. Back,
and I'm like, Grody, I was like, what are you doing, bro? I was like, we're friends. And then he's like, no, and I said, are we going to do this again? Are we going to do this again?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then that's when he conceded. He goes, right. Yeah. And I said, okay, then don't worry about it.
Now I'm going to pay tonight. I didn't manage my money since then. So now I'm really feels like I'm paying double
credit
tonight.
Card time, baby.
Unbelievable. No, I got you.
And then the funny thing is, Grody doesn't drink. So that when I have a beer,
I got to buy your shots tonight.
You can't say that you haven't. I haven't bought a beer in a long time. Actually, as a matter of fact,
lay off the pale ale and the imports. Yeah. All right, you're getting Miller Lights tonight, pal.
Hey, the way the Sox lost today, their first game, that was going to be tough. If the Bulls lose this one and there's no more NBA until next season, I might have a couple extra brewskis on the other side.
How was the Sox today, man? Did you go out there or no?
I texted Grody because I was thinking about it, but then I thought better of it to just stay home.
Okay, I'm sorry. So it was contingent on me going. I'm sorry.
No,
I texted a couple other people.
Oh,
so I might have been third or fourth in line.
Everybody at the same time. Max text messages.
Yeah, right.
But then what happened was I stayed at home, but then I was mad because the stadium was empty. And those are my favorite games to go to.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, but that sounds like...
It sounds beautiful. You sit in the bleachers, you get to catch a home run.
Concessionaires are all yours.
Easy.
19 bathrooms at your disposal.
Right.
Remember, I covered the Bears when there was no fans in the stands. I understand. Like, literally, no fans in the stands.
It's my everyday occurrence when I go watch the White Sox
play. See? You know.
But I didn't do that. Ended up crashing out there, watching that in some Champions League. Getting myself... soccer, bro.
Oh, yeah, soccer. That's right.
Champions. Oh, man.
Soccer, bro.
Come on, bro.
The Champions League. You could just,
you're
like...
so American.
I know, I really
like,
am.
The Champions League was that.
Hey, man, we just...
One of the most watched sporting events.
So is rugby. But, you know, you can't break it down.
True.
You know?
You're right.
Exactly.
You got me on that one.
Third most watched or viewed or participated in sport. So you're an ignorant American as well.
Oh, my gosh. That's so harsh.
See?
That's so unnecessarily harsh.
No, you are.
All right. We got Cody Westerlin, far from ignorance, actually genius-level knowledge when it comes to the Chicago
Bulls.
We'll
find out.
Yeah. We'll see if he knows about rugby and about what Champions League is.
And I am.
Cody Westerlin joins the show next. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe and Grody right here on 670 The Score.
Double G with the rock to the rack, count it, and a foul.
Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Chuck Swirsky, so nice to give us that beautiful drop, and you will hear plenty like those beginning right around the corner. Of course, Bulls taking on the Hawks tonight at the United Center, and the NBA play-in tournament coverage pregame begins at 8:15, tip-off at 8:30. We are the only local broadcast here in Chicago. And, of course, you can listen to us on the Odyssey app as well. If you're heading in to work and you want to put a little headpiece on, to go ahead and get that handle. But it's going to be a great one today. You know, Billy Donovan is dealt with some drama surrounding that Kentucky gig. And, you know, some might think that depending on what happens today, you know, could potentially be the last game he coaches for the Chicago Bulls.
Wow. See, I don't believe he's at all interested in the Kentucky job.
At all?
Yeah, it's just going on, like, listening to his tone when they got the initial reaction from Billy Donovan in discussing it. And he just sounded, like, very respectful of the job that Kentucky is, very almost honored that his name was out there. But the whole time he was talking, like a long soundbite, but never really expressing. And I get it. He can't show his cards. He may be thinking something completely differently. But I heard, just putting my amateur psychologist hat on, if I may, sounded like a guy who is just being very nice and respectful. This is sick. They're talking about me. It's great. I'm Billy Don. My name's out there. But no, I'm not going to leave the NBA.
What college did you go to again? Iowa State?
I went to Illinois State.
Illinois State. Excuse me.
How dare you.
I know.
I'm only in the Hall of Fame there.
You know what? I had Sean Sears. I'm thinking like you guys had a bonding moment over that, but Illinois State. Sorry.
Sean Sears didn't go to Illinois State.
Iowa State. That's what I'm saying.
You went to Iowa State, right?
You love the Bears, Mark Grody.
Well, I cover the Bears.
And you love the
Bears. I love the Bears.
Don't lie.
Bears.
And, so that's why you would not be swayed to go to Illinois State to go do something major there, right?
What do you mean?
Run the journalism department at Illinois State because you love the Bears.
Oh, right. Right.
Billy Donovan doesn't have that same love for the Bulls. So when something enticing comes along, it might be more tantalizing.
There's no loyalty is what you're saying. No, you're right about that. There's no loyalty to Chicago. There's no loyalty to the Bulls. But life is pretty good probably for him. I mean, think about his past jobs. This is by far the coolest
OKC
place.
Was fun with Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden.
I'm talking about quality of life and city that living in. Like, shade at all to Oklahoma City. And what
you're the
a
head
blast.
Coach of the Bulls.
You're the head coach of the Chicago
Bulls.
Without
a ton of pressure on you.
You live in a world-class city.
Because of what's
without
happening.
A ton of pressure on you. You're making bank. Your bosses love you. It's all, like.
How does it end? We know this. The ride doesn't always end so happily.
But we talked about, didn't we talk about
this?
Like,
we did.
What is built, like. What does Billy Donovan value? I don't know at this point, but I'm guessing he's 50, going on 60, basically. I'll round it up. I think he's actually 58. But like, what at this point is he like? Does he have that voracious hunger to win still? What did you say earlier? Steph Curry?
Yeah.
Steph Curry still wants to win. He made that public. And I know Billy Donovan is going to say he still wants to win. But, you know, at some point in time in your life, are you just happy and you're comfy and you want to win with the team that you're coaching?
He's Mark Grody. I'm Gabe Ramirez. Maybe he wants to make a deep run in the playoffs. Bulls need to win a couple games before they can get into it. And now we get to chat with someone who's there at the stadium, going to let us know some injury updates. Hopefully, our guy here, he's our editor on the website. Of course, he covers the Bulls for us as well. None other than Cody Westland. Cody, welcome.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good. Hanging in a little Gabe and Grody action. You know, Gabe, Grody, and Cody now. Let's see what I did there? Got a little, yeah. Hey.
How you doing, Cody?
Yeah.
What's cooking out there, man? Is it like, honest question.
Are you stressed or are you?
Honestly, man, does it feel different out there, like the fans and the buzz?
You got black socks and black shoes on or what? Yeah.
Of course it feels different, Grody. The Sea Red Pals are out.
It's a
playoff game.
Uh-huh.
Of course.
Okay. Okay.
They're
that
red.
That's a different view.
I see them.
Yeah. I see you.
They'll be waved around a ton. I don't know for how long into the night, but you know it's a play-in tournament. I think the Bulls are 3-point favorites. I expect a good game that goes down to the finish and probably have some DeMar DeRozan heroics too at some point. And that will be the Bulls' plan to beat the Hawks because they beat them 2 out of 3 times this year. Uh-huh. And the Hawks now have Trae Young back. Didn't have him in the last matchup, but we know how this works. The Hawks bomb threes. The Bulls slow it down a little bit, take care of the ball, play through DeMar. And the good news for the Bulls is that Ayo Dosunmu, after missing 4 games with a quad injury, has been cleared to play tonight. So I don't know that he'll be at 100%, but he will be out there on the court at some point.
You called it, man. Gabe said there's no way you're going to keep that guy off the court.
No way, Ayo's not going to play today.
Right, and explain to people, Cody, how important that is going up against Trae Young and some of the battles that Ayo and Trae Young have had in the past.
Right, like Ayo's the Hawks killer in some ways. He's been huge, holding Trae Young to not terrible games, but certainly inefficient games over the past several years. So that's huge on the defensive end. Ayo's lit the Hawks up this year, 21 points a game on nearly 56% shooting about him. Quinn Snyder's pregame press conference, Atlanta's coach, wasn't very long, but he spent half of it talking about how hard it is to stay in front of Ayo Dosunmu. On the break, the Hawks can be taken advantage of in transition. They have one of the bottom-tier transition defenses in the NBA, and that's the guy in the Bulls that makes them go in transition, right? It's always Ayo. It's always Ayo out there doing that. So that's a really big deal, right? Because that's just a key element to this game for the Bulls. In addition to DeMar, you look at the path to victory. It's getting Ayo out in transition some. It's getting Coby White to have his 3-point stroke back, and he's been better the last few games after some struggles later in the season there. So it's a huge deal for Ayo to be playing. Andre Drummond is a game-time decision. Saw him walk in. He has a sprained ankle. He's going to give it a go in warm-ups and see how he feels. Didn't do a lot at practice yesterday, which kind of put his status in doubt, but they officially list him as questionable. Who knows what he's out there? He might be out there on the court right now trying to give it a go and figure it out, but we should have that news probably in the next half hour or so.
I'm thinking about this game, Cody, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, how either team can end up winning it, right? When I think about the Atlanta Hawks, I think about 3-point shooting, putting it up at a high clip, and, you know, Bulls struggling to get over picks, and, you know, that's how they ended up knocking down trading threes for twos. But when I think about the Bulls, when I think how they're going to win, you know, you saw Atlanta give up 150-some points to Indiana, right? But I was talking about it a second ago. Indiana put up 49 in the first quarter, but Atlanta put up 34. So for me, it's about the Bulls starting off quickly. How can they, or what do they need to do in order to change the I don't know, however you typically been starting games in order to do it a bit differently in the playoffs?
Well, I think a big deal for the Bulls is just the help side defense and the recovery, right? Because you know exactly what the Hawks are going to do. There's going to be a ton of Trae Young pick and roll. They're going to spread you out, and they're going to have Clint Capella or whatever backup big man they're playing run to the rim and be a lob threat. And then someone on the backside for the Bulls every time has to make decisions. Take away the lob, or leave the three-point line open. Take away the three-point line, then the lob's open. So it has to be the defensive rotations, Gabe. If they can play together on a string, not just one defender, but two of them there, I think that's a huge way to get out to a quick start. Because, look, the Hawks are going to get their three-point attempts up. They always do. The Bulls allow the most in the NBA. So in that sense, it's how much can you stay in front of Trae Young and what can you kind of take away from the rest of the Hawks offensively and try to make them take shots late in the shot clock because they get a lot of good looks and they want to take them early, but if you string them out a little bit, then the shots get tougher later.
You mentioned that the Bulls did take the season series 2-1 this year against the Hawks, but did lose to Atlanta on April 1st here in Chicago, 113-101 without Trae Young. I have no idea what was going on that night with the Bulls mentally or anything like that, but do you take anything away from that? And is there any lessons learned game plan wise tonight from that recent loss at home?
Yeah, don't let the Hawks shoot 48% on threes, Brody. I think you asked what got into the Bulls that night. I think the Hawks were 19 of 40, if I remember right, that night.
Yeah,
They were shooting very well, did not shoot well from three-point range in the first two matchups that the Bulls won. And that's kind of what's funny, right? The Hawks haven't really had a normal three-point shooting effort against the Bulls yet. They've had two really poor ones and one great one, and the results of the game have followed along those lines, which makes it fascinating tonight. But like I said, like, these teams know each other, right? Like, they play each other three or four times every year. The Bulls roster we know stayed the same. The Hawks always operate around Trae Young. Had a lot of head-to-head matchups here. So it's just about who executes better, and it sounds simplistic on the three-point range, but if the Bulls don't let the Hawks just go wild from behind the arc, they're going to have a really good chance to win this game because you got to like your chances with DeMar DeRozan in crunch time, but we've seen it a ton of times this year. The Bulls can get outscored by 39 points from downtown and then not have a chance in games. So that's what they're trying to avoid here.
We're talking to Cody Westerlund here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody leading you into Bulls pregame that begins at 8:15, tip off at 8:30. Cody, what's the likelihood the Bulls run into an Atlanta team that is just disinterested and kind of collapses in the second half?
Probably fairly high, Gabe. I mean, I think they lost their last six in the regular season, haven't had a lot of continuity late in the season. I know they reassimilated Trae Young back into that rotation, back into the lead role. But look, this Hawks team hasn't been good. It's been a bad team. When you think about these teams that are average or in the play-in tournament, you said playoffs, Gabe. We're technically still in the play-in.
Right, my bad.
Remember that. They got to earn their way to the playoffs here still. As an eight seed is the only path for the Bulls. But, yeah, I mean, you think of the Bulls and you think about inconsistency, but Billy Donovan's talked about it quite a bit. Like, they're gritty. They fight hard. They bring it on the effort end pretty much every night. That's not what people have associated the Hawks with from night to night this season. It's been more inconsistency by way of just their defensive effort, all of those things. It feels like the Hawks are the prototypical team that has the higher ceiling and the lower floor here, and the Bulls are somewhere in the middle. And that's how it plays out sometimes. So, yeah, I mean, the Bulls could just handle their business and certainly move on here. And like I said, the Bulls are going to have to win two games in three nights to earn the number eight seed and a matchup with the Boston Celtics. That's the goal right now for the Bulls, and it starts tonight.
Mm-hmm. It does. And then if the Bulls were to win tonight, which I actually think that they will, I do think that they're better than Atlanta right now, they would play the loser of 76ers and Heat, say the game that we have on right now. Of course, they don't have the score up here for me right now. Are we allowed to look ahead? Because I assume the Bulls are going to win this game, man. And then,
whoa.
Yeah, and then who's
Cody? You're asking Cody Westerlund to look ahead for the Chicago Bulls? Good luck, my friend. Good luck, my friend.
Poor guy's turned jaded over the years. Yeah, well, so somebody has to be excited.
Grody. Yeah, we were looking ahead to Caleb Williams in, like, November. We can look ahead two nights for the Bulls
Thank
if you want.
Thank you. You don't want to see Philadelphia, right? Or, you know, the Heat did beat the Bulls last year. I don't know.
Well, we know Joel Embiid's dominance against the Bulls through the years. They finally got him and beat him, I think, a year ago or something like that. But he always goes off against him. So this is going to be a really hard pass. Either way, right? You got a game where the Bulls are slightly favored tonight, and then a game where no matter where they play, Miami or Philadelphia on Friday, you'd expect them to be underdogs and face an uphill battle. And I don't know which matchup's easier, honestly. I would probably say the Heat for the Bulls just because Joel Embiid's so good. But right now, I think I just looked up that score, and the Heat are winning by 12 at halftime. So it's looking more likely that the Sixers are the ones that are going to have to be playing Friday night again. from those two teams right now, but I'm sure there'll be a really good second half on that. And yeah, like you're right. Like Grody, if we're talking about it, like the Bulls should take care of business tonight.
Yeah.
They've been a slightly better team all year. They have the best clutch performer in the NBA in DeMar DeRozan. Alex Caruso has gotten to this point pretty healthy. Now, again, the Andre Drummond, if he can't go and Io being slowed, like those are big, big factors for the Bulls because they've been so good against the Hawks. But like the Bulls should take care of their business tonight if you're asking me what should happen.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's just unfortunate we have to look ahead to a game like the Bulls versus the Philadelphia. I'm over here trying to write a high note. People are headed to the United Center right now trying to think about victories, to getting a step closer to the plan. And you guys, and you want to talk about Joel Embiid, the Bull Killer.
Embiid, like, yeah, he beat the Bulls like the first 30 times he played them. So let's make this a Miami game, all right? Because you know. Wait, hold on a second, Cody. Gabe, are the Bulls?
He wants that revenge from last year.
That's right, Gabe. Are you not picking the Bulls to win tonight? Because it sounds like Cody and I are. I'm not talking about gambling wise. I'm talking about like just lines. Are the Bulls going to win tonight, or do you think?
As I said earlier, the Bulls are one of the most exciting teams in the NBA. You don't know who's going to win, but you know it's going to be close in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
And so I would hope at the end, you know, Trae Young likes that spotlight. For some reason, he likes to beat up on the Bulls in certain moments, and I think it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy.
Hey, if you're picking Atlanta, I get it.
No, don't do that. I'm not picking Atlanta. If Vooch can give me 20 and 10 and get some big points early, get him going early,
then I
will have zero worry about the Chicago Bulls winning this game. I'll be worried about the Philadelphia 76ers, especially tonight. They're shooting 3-for-18 from the three-point line. You know they're not going to do that two games in a row. So if you got some good three-point shooting matches with a Joel Embiid, a motivated Joel Embiid, to want to get out there and face the Boston Celtics in the first round, what a matchup.
That would be sweet.
But they still got to finish that game, as you mentioned. Go ahead, Cody.
Guys, we should note that Trae Young, I think, is 3-0 in his play-in career. Like, he's been terrific in this, and he lit the Heat up last year, I believe, in the play-in tournament to get the Hawks, the seventh seed, before the Bulls ended up playing Miami. So, like, you know he rises to the moments, too, right? Gabe made a great point there. You got a couple guys that'll probably do this tonight.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, most certainly. But I feel like Billy Donovan's ready for the moment, Cody. I think that, you know, even with this roster, right, as depleted as it may be, he does have these guys playing at a high level. I talked to Sam Smith yesterday, and I asked him, you know, why is it? Why do the Bulls, despite everything that's happened, you know, why are they still playing at a high level? And I said, is the answer simply because they have guys like DeMar DeRozan and Vooch? What would your answer to that question be? Because, I mean, they really are doing it with a depleted squad and some names that probably wouldn't be getting as many minutes if the other guys were on the roster.
Well, I mean, they won 39 games, Gabe. They played hard, and they know who they are. I wouldn't say the Bulls have always played at a high level, but they did play very good in their season finale loss and regular season finale loss to the Knicks on Sunday at Madison Square Garden. A 1-point loss on the road to that Knicks team that was playing really hard and chasing the number two seed was a pretty good result. But I mean, if you're looking at the reasons why, right, like Kobe's found his shot a little bit more the past couple games attacking the rim. We know how good DeMar is. And Javonte Green signed late in the season, two-way contract, and then upgraded to a standard contract. Like, he's been great for the Bulls, slashing to the rim in the half-court setting, getting out in transition a little bit more, giving him another wing defender on the defensive end. So that's been a real big deal for the Bulls in that sense. And what do you want? Like, Io shooting 40% from three, Caruso shooting 40% from three. Like, the Bulls can knock down shots, too, if they're open. So it's been a case of that for a while, certainly. And, you know, DeMar, he's made for this moment. I kind of chuckled, Gabe, right there, saying Billy Donovan, this is the moment for him or whatever. Like, I don't know that that's what he dreamed of when he took this job, but it certainly is the state of the franchise right now. Like, yes, the coaching decisions get magnified on nights like this, no doubt.
It is a moment for Billy Donovan. There's no doubt about it. If the Bulls, like Gabe thinks, if they do lose tonight's game, will Billy Donovan be asked about the – I'm getting yelled at.
They got Mark Pope already. Huh? Kentucky does.
It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. So Billy is in the clear.
He's stuck.
Would Billy ever have considered going to Kentucky or going anywhere else? Because I just think he's happy to be in the NBA and be the Bulls coach. I don't think he really wants to go anywhere. Do you, Cody?
No, I don't think so. If it wasn't the Kentucky job, I can't see what else it would be, right? Because that's the pinnacle in college basketball, basically. And the Duke job's not open. The Carolina job's not open. Kentucky's where he coached before. So, like, that felt like it would have been the one that he went back to, and that one just got filled. And who knows how long Mark Pope's leash is there in Lexington and everything, but that job will be filled for several more years. And it does feel like, I think Billy's 58, really happy here. And in that press conference when after Calipari got fired, I guess he didn't get fired after he left for his new job, and we were asking Billy stuff, like, he was pretty adamant about, like, how much he loved coaching in the NBA. Like, he didn't, like, close the door to ever going back, but he kept saying again and again, like, this is where he wants to be. So it certainly feels like that's the case. And he gets along really well with the front office. He gets along really well with ownership. He's a phenomenal face of the franchise when it comes to speaking daily, to making sure there are no huge problems, issues. Like, he attacks those with players head on. Great communicator. So, like, he does a lot of things really well for the organization. I don't think he's been dealt a fair hand of talent from the Bulls, and that's why they're always 500 or slightly below. There are certainly criticisms you can have of some of his coaching strategies and in-game decisions at times. But all in all, like, they like him, and I feel like this is where he wants to be. So, yeah, I think he'll be here a little bit while longer, no doubt.
Well, he has his hands full tonight. Of course, the Atlanta Hawks taking on the Chicago Bulls. Pregame begins at 8:15, tip-off at 8:30. Chuck Swirsky, Bill Wennington, Alyssa Bergman, he got the call. And, of course, Cody Westling, we appreciate you jumping on with us. And I know you love the Bulls so much, Cody. I do hope we're talking to you again before the Friday game when they take on hopefully not the Philadelphia 76ers, but another game at least under the belt for the Bulls.
Gabe, I promise I will hop on with you, preview that, and if you ask about the series against the Celtics in the first round, I will talk about the hypothetical if you want me to.
Oh, you have no idea, Cody. I'm going to get that clip, and I'm playing that for you from here on until infinity every time I ask a question about the future. Cody Westerlund, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you follow him on Twitter. Just some great stuff, especially he's a guy. The reason I like Cody is because, one, he's an athlete. He understands certain things, you know, that maybe ways other people wouldn't. But he does genuinely take his job so seriously. What he does for the Chicago Bulls, what he does for 670 to score, love having him on. All right, we're gonna be hanging out with you guys till 8:10. So we still got some more stuff to do.
8:10.
Give you some Billy Donovan audio right at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. But we'll give you some more Bulls thoughts as you're heading to the United Center or home as to how the Bulls can get a victory against the Atlanta Hawks. We'll do that next. It's Gabe. It's Grody. It's 670 the score.
Kobe, dribble drive, wraparound dribble, Kobe to the rim, Kobe with a finish. What a play by Kobe White with 22.
I am so envious of that dude's handle right there. He has that thing on a string, and with that behind the back, Dante DiVincenzo getting left in the dust.
Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Leading you right into Bulls basketball, pregame begins at 8:15. I want to talk to somebody that's on the way to the game right now. 312-644-6767. Grody and I were talking about it. We're trying to get into the heads of the people that are headed to the game. Like, what's the mindset like? Are you hyped up? Do you have your black socks and your black gym shoes on? You know, some people don't even know what that is anymore. Mm-hmm. I did hear a rumor that young people think ankle socks are old school now.
Really? So...
that's how we know we're old.
How high up do the socks got to go now?
I don't know. Maybe we'll get a phone call from some dad and a kid in a car or a mom and a kid, whatever it is. But if you're headed to the game, I would love to talk to you. If you're, you know, on the 290, maybe riding through the city, whatever it might be, want to get your mindset and what you're feeling right now. Because, listen, you could say what you want about the Bulls and you could say it's not the playoffs. But if you watched NBA basketball yesterday, like I did, and you watch the Lakers and the Pels, and you watch Zion put up 40 and get hurt after tying the game up after being down 15. If you know, you watch the death of a dynasty with Golden State Warriors, those games mattered. And I guarantee you talk to those fan bases, they were hyped that their teams won those games, whether it's the Lakers finally getting in or the Sacramento Kings having an opportunity to face the Pelicans in order to get into the playoffs. Those teams are hyped up. So I'm hyped. I will be watching this game and be screaming just like if it were any other playoff game.
Oh, man, you're going to be trouble tonight then, huh?
Oh, I'm going to be trouble.
Oh, man, we might have to get separate tables.
Well, I mean, you're going to pay for my check no matter where I'm sitting, Mark Grody. I don't care where I'm at.
Still can't get out of it. Yeah, I want to, you know, we just want to ride with you here for a few minutes as you're heading out to the United Center and you know, the good news is, if you didn't hear, if you are just jumping in with us and driving with us, Ayo Dosunmu is playing tonight. That's massive in terms of Trae Young, because those two, like, if you want to, like, isolate on something, watch that matchup. I mean, you'll be forced to watch that matchup because Trae Young is going to get off his shots. But that's good. That's fun to watch. And then, just as we were just talking about with Cody, too, as for the last time the Bulls played these guys without Trae Young, that was one of those nights of an example I was talking about earlier. They rain threes.
Yeah.
They could wipe you out in a minute, too, if they make their threes. And that's what they did the last time out.
And that's the beauty of the play-in, where everyone knows this could potentially be the last game. So what kind of style of play are you going to have? And I think that's going to be great. And then one thing the Bulls do exceptionally well, they're half-court offense. Why? Because they run it through DeMar DeRozan or Vooch. Somebody that can score an isolation ball. And in the playoffs / play-in, we know how important that is to have a guy that can get a bucket. And we certainly have one in DeMar DeRozan. All right, let's go out to the phone lines. People heading to the Bulls game right now. We got Ryan. Ryan, so are you at the United Center? Parking on your way?
Yes. On the way right now.
All right, who are you with? You by yourself? You with the guys?
With my team.
Okay, and what do you think is going to happen today for the Bulls?
They're going to win.
How about how much? Give me a number.
Bears.
62 to 59. Oh,
okay,
like
no, this isn't college basketball, Papa. 62 to 59, you mean at halftime? What are you talking? That's right. Hey, that's why we love Bulls fans, because they go, and it's like, got tickets? Somebody gave me tickets to the Bulls game. I'm in.
What game was he at?
62 to 59.
What game would be going on tonight in Chicago that would end in 62-59?
The Chicago Sky defeat the Indiana Fever 62 to 59.
Not anymore, man.
Illinois takes down Wisconsin 62-59.
Right, absolutely. Like a Big Ten men's college basketball team. That would be – how about just the Iowa football team? They could slow down an offense with the best of them.
And I was going to say, that score probably wouldn't get up there at all.
No, probably wouldn't get up there. But, hey, I appreciate that somebody called, but maybe they don't know the sport that they're going to.
They're with the guys. They're with the guys. They're probably faded right now. Nobody knows.
Maybe they're faded,
All right, someone who is not faded, he has to be on the top of his game, is none other than Billy Donovan. He spoke to the media about what this game is going to be like. We got that audio for you on the other side. Billy Donovan, next. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe. It's Grody. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Join The Score and Budweiser on Thursday, May 2nd at Harry Carey's Tavern, Navy Pier, for the 26th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey. The Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey is brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. Join Parkins and Spiegel. They're going to be there broadcasting live from 4 to 7 with actor and comedian. Shout out to my Seinfeld fans, Jason Alexander. He's going to be leading the toast at 5:30. That's going to be pretty damn cool.
That is awesome, man.
Because there's the Harry Carey's in Navy Pier. There's also the Harry Carey's right there by the House of Blues.
Yeah, on Kinsey, I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it's a Kinsey address. A great place. Been there tons of times.
Harry Carey's, I think because most people, though, you know, if they don't go there, like, what you should know is that the memorabilia that's in these places is unreal.
Oh, yeah, man. And, like, if you go, like, I've been to that event, like, the last couple of years.
Okay.
It's not over.
Do you come on as Harry from Heaven?
Well, I did do some Harry with those guys the first year. I was part of the program. Yes, I did some. But it's a really cool event, and it's like, it's not as like jam-packed and crazy as you'd think it is. Like,
okay,
you can get around and stuff, you know?
I thought there'd be some rowdy people drinking Budweisers.
Well, there are, and they should enjoy themselves. I mean, it's about a guy who drank a lot of Budweisers. So.
It is.
Really, that's what we're doing, this in the name of a man who drank a lot. But it is, it's hilarious, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll be there. May 2nd, Thursday, live broadcast is from 4 to 7. Make sure you guys come out. Toast with Jason Alexander begins at 5:30. Bulls pregame begins at 8:15. Tip-offs at 8:30. We're leading you right into that. It's Gabe and Grody. Got you for a couple more minutes, but did want to play some Billy Donovan pregame audio. He talked a lot about the game, and I want you to hear updates on Ayo and Andre Drummond and see the confidence level in Billy Donovan's voice. Here he is right now, Billy Donovan, head coach of the Chicago Bulls.
Do you have a status on Ayo and Andre?
Ayo's cleared to play, and Andre is going to be a game-time decision after he goes through warm-ups.
And when you say cleared to play, so obviously he responded well to the practice.
I think all the stuff, the medical, with the limited amount of practice time, so things that they did medically with him in terms of the running and some of the, you know, work with the player development staff, trying to play a little bit of full court, just the way he responded. They wanted to put him in some situations just to see how he would do. And, you know, in terms of how he responded, they feel good about where he's at. Now, I think the biggest thing is going to be, what does he look like? Because he hasn't had any practice once he gets out there.
You feel comfortable putting him out there?
Yeah, because medical's cleared him. Yeah.
Is there going to be any sort of minutes limit on him?
Not that I've been told, no.
Hey, Billy, with Drummond, I mean, obviously he's been so important for you guys, especially in the games against Atlanta. He's had some really good games against Atlanta. What does he bring when that's not there? What do you, as a coach looking in that rotation, what do you feel like, oh, we don't have that from you know, whatever's left of the bench?
Yeah, I mean, to your point there, he's been really good on the glass for us, getting extra possessions. I think there was one game where maybe Vooch didn't play and Andre played a lot of minutes and played really, really well in that game. But, you know, it's hard to make up the way he rebounds the ball because it's just what he does at such an elite level. And then certainly his rolling and his presence on rolls to the rim, you know, have been really, really good. You know, the rim protection piece has been really good. But I would just say his presence around the basket is something that I think in those games you felt with him and the impact he made. So I think it's hard to sit there and, you know, I don't know if just physically there's nobody on our team that can generate that, right? You know, we just don't have that.
This morning, DeMar talked a little bit about how when you guys are forced to kind of go small as you have when Andre's been out, just how that kind of ups the ante in terms of that pace being important. I know that's something that you guys struggled with throughout the season. Do you feel like you've kind of figured out how to improve and work on that pace with the group that you have right now?
Well, I'm not sure I understand the question.
Just if you're having to play small, do you feel like you guys know how and have figured out maybe a little bit more of how to figure out that pace?
Yeah, I mean, I think the pace part is fine. I think the pace is always going to be is how well we can defend. You know, like if we're giving up offensive rebounds, if we're fouling and the game gets slowed, it's going to be hard. You know, so when you are small out there, like in the New York situation, I think we got hurt one time with Hartenstein on an offensive rebound. We missed a block out. But when we were able to get stops, if we can get out in transition, that's where it's going to be most effective. You know, I think those guys have a good enough feel how to play. But I think when the defense does get set, you know, with our guys, because there's not like in that small lineup, there's really nobody that's a post presence, so to speak. And I think I mentioned to you guys maybe going into the Washington game when Andre was out and, you know, even the New York game, that it was an opportunity for us to kind of do some of that. And I do think the guys did a good job with it and they're smart enough to figure that out. But it's only going to be effective, in my opinion, of how well we can rebound and how well we can defend. And if we're not doing well, I think it would be really, really hard just size-wise, but it's the when the game gets into an open floor. And I feel very, very comfortable at the pace at which they can play with would be fine, and they'll, I think, do a good job with that.
This team feasts on second-chance points. Now, they're obviously missing some guys that have helped in that throughout the regular season. But does that almost give you pause to use that small lineup too? Because how effective they are, or you might be forced to have
dropped. Yeah. I think a lot of it's going to be just in terms of rhythm and timing and playing. I mean, both those two guys have missed quite a bit of time. You know, this has not been like they missed a game and now they're back. I mean, it's been over 10 days since they've last played a game, and they missed the last three games. So. And there's really not been any kind of like break in the schedule where we've had like two or three days where we could really, really practice. So I just don't know where they're at physically. So I think some of it's going to be how is the game going and probably having to make decisions, you know, if Andre's trying to go and he's really just not able to run and move like he normally is capable of, I think you get caught, you know, potentially having to make a decision on that. I think the same thing could be said for Io. Certainly you want to give them every opportunity to go out there and play and perform. Those guys have played well and they've really contributed and helped our team. But in this situation where it's one and done, I think you got to probably look at, you know, where are they at physically, because I just don't have any feel for that right now.
Hey, Billy, I mean, this front office, the last two trade deadlines has, you know, stayed pat, come out and explained why. And even the beginning of this year, it's always about improvement over last year, getting further. Has there been any discussion? I know for a coach it's different you're just trying to win the game and you don't really give a damn about public perception and stuff. But this front office would seemingly, this is an important stance for them to justify what they've done. Have you gotten that sense talking to Arturas that, you know, look, we've got a lot on the line here, not just a play-in game. We're trying to kind of win public opinion back on this team.
You mean in terms of right now?
Yes.
They have not had to talk with me about that at all. No, I have not spoken to them. I mean, I do think that, like, and I think I've mentioned this to you guys, when there's, like, stuff that they need to talk to me about, they're always been really, really good about that. But that hasn't just been brought to me, like, conversation-wise at all.
Billy Donovan right there wrapping things up, giving us some good insight as to what was going on. The game's going to be a good one tonight. Shout out to everybody that's on the way. Let me ask you, Grody, prediction, score, what you got?
I'm with the earlier caller of 62-59. Bulls win tonight. No, I will actually say Bulls win 113-101, which was the exact score the Hawks beat the Bulls by on April 1st, the last time these two teams hooked up at the United Center.
113-101. I think it's going to be a tight game, as most Bulls games are. I think it's going to be a defensive one. I'm going to go 109-107. Trae Young missing a three-pointer at the end. Bulls get the victory, and we see whoever wants to face us. It's tied up. Miami and Philly, 74 apiece, 11 minutes to go in the game. No, I want to thank our guest, Cody Westerlund, today. Fantastic job. I want to thank Leo Stoudemire for doing a great job today, too.
Tyler, Leo Stoudemire to the rack. Count it the foul.
Nice.
He's a fast guy, so I believe he got fouled on the way to the rim.
Love it.
Groats, it's a pleasure as always, brother.
Yeah, man. And by the way, this man right here, Gabe Ramirez, will be my guest on the Daily Score. So tomorrow when you're waking up, I always send the link out. We're going to be talking about the Bulls game that we've been talking about a lot tonight. So we'll chat about it. We'll get you our raw feelings, and you'll hear about him in the morning.
He tells me the ride home is free and that the dinner is as well, and then he gets me on the podcast. Got me doing some overtime.
Ride home.
Yeah, what are you talking about? All right, Bulls basketball coming up next. Mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time, I am Gabe Ramirez. He is Mark Grody. We are G&G, and this is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Gabe, it's Grody. It's 670 The Score.
Kobe, dribble drive, wraparound dribble. Kobe to the rim. Kobe with a finish. What a play by Kobe White with 22.
I am so envious of that dude's handle right there. He has that thing on a string, and with that behind the back, Dante DiVincenzo getting left in the dust.
Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Leading you right into Bulls basketball. Pregame begins at 8:15. I want to talk to somebody that's on the way to the game right now. 312-644-6767. Grody and I were talking about it. We're trying to get into the heads of the people that are headed to the game. Like, what's the mindset like? Are you hyped up? Do you have your black socks and your black gym shoes on? You know, some people don't even know what that is anymore. I did hear a rumor that young people think ankle socks are old school now.
Really? So
that's how we know we're old.
How high up do the socks got to go now?
I don't know. Maybe we'll get a phone call from some dad and a kid in a car or a mom and a kid, whatever it is. But if you're headed to the game, I would love to talk to you. If you're, you know, on the 290, maybe riding through the city, whatever it might be, want to get your mindset and what you're feeling right now. Because, listen, you could say what you want about the Bulls, and you could say it's not the playoffs. But if you watched NBA basketball yesterday, like I did, and you watched the Lakers and the Pels, and you watched Zion put up 40 and get hurt after tying the game up after being down 15, if you, you know, you watched the death of a dynasty with Golden State Warriors, those games mattered. And I guarantee you talk to those fan bases, they were hyped that their teams won those games, whether it's the Lakers finally getting in or the Sacramento Kings having an opportunity to face the Pelicans in order to get into the playoffs. Those teams are hyped up. So I'm hyped. I will be watching this game and be screaming just like if it were any other playoff game.
Oh, man, you're going to be trouble tonight then, huh?
Oh, I'm going to be trouble.
Oh, man, we're going to have to get separate tables.
Well, I mean, you're going to pay for my check no matter where I'm sitting, Mark Grody. I don't care where I'm at.
Still can't get out of it. Yeah, I want to, you know, we just want to ride with you here for a few minutes. Yeah. As you're heading out to the United Center, and, you know, the good news is, if you didn't hear, if you are just jumping in with us and driving with us, Io DeSumo is playing tonight. That's massive in terms of Trae Young, because those two, like, if you want to like isolate on something, watch that matchup. I mean, you'll be forced to watch that matchup because Trae Young is going to get off his shots. But that's good. That's fun to watch. And then, just as we were just talking about with Cody too, as for the last time the Bulls played these guys without Trae Young, that was one of those nights of an example that I was talking about earlier. They rain threes.
Yeah.
They could wipe you out in a minute too if they make their threes, and that's what they did the last time out.
And that's the beauty of the play-in, where everyone knows this could potentially be the last game. So what kind of style of play are you going to have? And I think that's going to be great. And then one thing the Bulls do exceptionally well, they're half-court offense. Why? Because they run it through DeMar DeRozan or Vooch, that somebody that can score an isolation ball. And in the playoffs / play-in, we know how important that is to have a guy that can get a bucket. And we certainly have one in DeMar DeRozan. All right, let's go out to the phone lines. People heading to the Bulls game right now. We got Ryan. Ryan, so are you at the United Center? Parking on your way?
Yes. On the way right now.
All right, who are you with? You by yourself? You with the guys?
With my team.
Okay, and what do you think is going to happen today for the Bulls?
They're going to win.
How about how much? Give me a number.
Bears.
62 to 59. Oh,
okay, no, this isn't college basketball, Papa. 62 to 59, you mean at halftime? What are you talking? That's right. Hey, that's why we love Bulls fans, because they go, and it's like, got tickets? Somebody gave me tickets to the Bulls game. I'm in.
What game was he at?
62 to 59.
What game would be going on tonight in Chicago that would end in 62-59?
The Chicago Sky defeat the Indiana Fever 62 to 59.
Not anymore, man.
Illinois takes down Wisconsin 62-59.
Right, absolutely. Like a Big Ten men's college basketball team. Funny. That would be. How about just the Iowa football team? They could slow down an offense with the best of them.
And I was going to say, that score probably wouldn't get up there at all.
Probably wouldn't get up there. But hey, I appreciate that somebody called, but maybe they don't know the sport that they're going to.
They're with the guys. They're with the guys. They're probably faded right now. Nobody knows.
Maybe they're faded. Yeah.
All right. Someone who is not faded, he has to be on the top of his game, is none other than Billy Donovan. He spoke to the media about what this game is going to be like. We got that audio for you on the other side. Billy Donovan, next. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe. It's Grody. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Join the Score and Budweiser on Thursday, May 2nd at Harry Carey's Tavern, Navy Pier, for the 26th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey. The Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey is brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. Join Parkins and Spiegel. They're going to be there broadcasting live from 4 to 7 with actor and comedian. Shout out to my Seinfeld fans, Jason Alexander. He's going to be leading the toast at 5:30. That's going to be pretty damn cool.
That is awesome, man.
Because there's the Harry Carey's in Navy Pier. There's also the Harry Carey's right there by the House of Blues.
Yeah, on Kinsey, I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it's a Kinsey address. A great place. Been there tons of times.
Harry Carey's, I think because most people, though, you know, if they don't go there, like, what you should know is that the memorabilia that's in these places is unreal.
Oh, yeah, man. And, like, if you go, like, I've been to that event, like, the last couple of years.
Okay.
It's not over.
Do you come on as Harry from Heaven?
Well, I did do some Harry with those guys the first year. I was part of the program. Yes, I did some. But it's a really cool event, and it's like, it's not as like jam-packed and crazy as you'd think it is. Like,
okay,
you can get around and stuff, you know?
I thought there'd be some rowdy people drinking Budweisers.
Well, there are, and they should enjoy themselves. I mean, it's about a guy who drank a lot of Budweiser. So.
It is.
Really, that's what we're doing, this in the name of a man who drank a lot. But it is, it's hilarious, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll be there. May 2nd, Thursday, live broadcast is from 4 to 7. Make sure you guys come out. Toast with Jason Alexander begins at 5:30. Bulls pregame begins at 8:15. Tip-offs at 8:30. We're leading you right into that. It's Gabe and Grody. Got you for a couple more minutes, but did want to play some Billy Donovan pregame audio. He talked a lot about the game, and I want you to hear updates on Io and Andre Drummond and see the confidence level in Billy Donovan's voice. Here he is right now, Billy Donovan, head coach of the Chicago Bulls.
Do you have a status on Io and Andre?
Io's cleared to play, and Andre is going to be a game time decision after he goes through warm ups.
And when you say cleared to play, so obviously he responded well to the practice.
I think all the stuff, the medical, with the limited amount of practice time, so things that they did medically with him in terms of the running and some of the, you know, work with the player development staff, trying to play a little bit of full court, just the way he responded. They wanted to put him in some situations just to see how he would do. And, you know, in terms of how he responded, they feel good about where he's at. Now, I think the biggest thing is going to be, what does he look like? Because he hasn't had any practice once he gets out there.
You feel comfortable putting him out there?
Yeah, because medical's cleared him. Yeah.
Is there going to be any sort of minutes limit on him?
Not that I've been told, no.
Mm-mm. Billy, with Drummond, I mean, obviously he's been so important for you guys, especially in the games against Atlanta. He's had some really good games against Atlanta. What does he bring when that's not there? What do you, as a coach looking in that rotation, what do you feel like, oh, we don't have that from you know, whatever's left of the bench?
Yeah, I mean, to your point there, he's been really good on the glass for us, getting extra possessions. I think there was one game where maybe Vooch didn't play and Andre played a lot of minutes and played really, really well in that game. But, you know, it's hard to make up the way he rebounds the ball because it's just what he does at such an elite level. And then certainly his rolling and his presence on rolls to the rim, you know, have been really, really good. You know, the rim protection piece has been really good. But I would just say his presence around the basket is something that I think in those games you felt with him and the impact he made. So I think it's hard to sit there and, you know, I don't know if just physically there's nobody on our team that can generate that, right? You know, we just don't have that.
This morning, DeMar talked a little bit about how when you guys are forced to kind of go small as you have when Andre's been out, just how that kind of ups the ante in terms of that pace being important. I know that's something that you guys struggled with throughout the season. Do you feel like you've kind of figured out how to improve and work on that pace with the group that you have right now?
Well, I'm not sure I understand the question.
Just if you're having to play small, do you feel like you guys know how and have figured out maybe a little bit more of how to figure out that pace?
Yeah, I mean, I think the pace part is fine. I think the pace is always going to be is how well we can defend. You know, like if we're giving up offensive rebounds, if we're fouling and the game gets slowed, it's going to be hard. You know, so when you are small out there, like in the New York situation, I think we got hurt one time with Hartenstein on an offensive rebound. We missed a block out. But when we were able to get stops, if we can get out in transition, that's where it's going to be most effective. You know, I think those guys have a good enough feel how to play. But I think when the defense does get set, you know, with our guys, because there's not like in that small lineup, there's really nobody that's a post presence, so to speak. And I think I mentioned to you guys maybe going into the Washington game when Andre was out and, you know, even the New York game, that it was an opportunity for us to kind of do some of that. And I do think the guys did a good job with it and they're smart enough to figure that out. But it's only going to be effective, in my opinion, of how well we can rebound and how well we can defend. And if we're not doing well, I think it would be really, really hard just size-wise, but it's the when the game gets into an open floor. And I feel very, very comfortable at the pace at which they can play with would be fine, and they'll, I think, do a good job with that.
This team feasts on second-chance points. Now, they're obviously missing some guys that have helped in that throughout the regular season. But does that almost give you pause to use that small lineup too? Because how effective they are, or you might be forced to have drawn.
Yeah. I think a lot of it's going to be just in terms of rhythm and timing and playing. I mean, both those two guys have missed quite a bit of time. You know, this has not been like they missed a game and now they're back. I mean, it's been over 10 days since they've last played a game, and they missed the last three games. So. And there's really not been any kind of like break in the schedule where we've had like two or three days where we could really, really practice. So I just don't know where they're at physically. So I think some of it's going to be how is the game going and probably having to make decisions, you know, if Andre's trying to go and he's really just not able to run and move like he normally is capable of, I think you get caught, you know, potentially having to make a decision on that. I think the same thing could be said for Io. Certainly you want to give them every opportunity to go out there and play and perform. Those guys have played well and they've really contributed and helped our team. But in this situation where it's one and done, I think you got to probably look at, you know, where are they at physically, because I just don't have any feel for that right now.
Hey, Billy, I mean, this front office, the last two trade deadlines has, you know, stayed pat, come out and explained why. And even the beginning of this year, it's always about improvement over last year, getting further. Has there been any discussion? I know for a coach it's different. You're just trying to win the game and you don't really give a damn about public perception and stuff. But this front office would seemingly, this is an important stance for them to justify what they've done. Have you gotten that sense talking to Arturas that, you know, look, we've got a lot on the line here, not just a play-in game. We're trying to kind of win public opinion back on this team.
You mean in terms of right now?
Yes.
They have not had to talk with me about that at all. No, I have not spoken to them. I mean, I do think that, like, and I think I've mentioned this to you guys, when there's, like, stuff that they need to talk to me about, they're always been really, really good about that. But that hasn't just been brought to me, like, conversation-wise at all.
Billy Donovan right there wrapping things up, giving us some good insight as to what was going on. The game's going to be a good one tonight. Shout out to everybody that's on the way. Let me ask you, Grody, prediction, score, what you got?
I'm with the earlier caller of 62-59. Bulls win tonight. No, I will actually say Bulls win 113-101, which was the exact score the Hawks beat the Bulls by on April 1st, the last time these two teams hooked up at the United Center.
113-101. I think it's going to be a tight game, as most Bulls games are. I think it's going to be a defensive one. I'm going to go 109-107. Trae Young missing a three-pointer at the end. Bulls get the victory, and we see whoever wants to face us. It's tied up. Miami and Philly, 74 apiece, 11 minutes to go in the game. Noah, I want to thank our guest, Cody Westerlin, today. Fantastic job. I want to thank Leo Stoudemire for doing a great job today, too.
Tyler, Leo Stoudemire to the rack. Count it in the foul.
Nice.
He's a fast guy, so I believe he got fouled on the way to the rim.
Love it.
Groats, it's a pleasure as always, brother.
Yeah, man. And by the way, this man right here, Gabe Ramirez, will be my guest on the Daily Score. So tomorrow when you're waking up, I always send the link out. We're going to be talking about the Bulls game that we've been talking about a lot tonight. So we'll chat about it. We'll get you our raw feelings, and you'll hear about him in the morning.
He tells me the ride home is free and that the dinner is as well, and then he gets me on the podcast. Got me doing some overtime.
Ride home.
Yeah, what are you talking about? All right, Bulls basketball coming up next. Mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time, I am Gabe Ramirez. He is Mark Grody. We are G&G, and this is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's Grody at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Join The Score and Budweiser on Thursday, May 2nd at Harry Carey's Tavern, Navy Pier, for the 26th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey. The Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey is brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. Join Parkins and Spiegel. They're going to be there broadcasting live from 4 to 7 with actor and comedian. Shout out to my Seinfeld fans, Jason Alexander. He's going to be leading the toast at 5:30. That's going to be pretty damn cool.
That is awesome, man.
Because there's the Harry Carey's in Navy Pier. There's also the Harry Carey's right there by the House of Blues.
Yeah, on Kinsey, I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it's a Kinsey address. A great place. Been there tons of times.
Harry Carey's, I think because most people, though, you know, if they don't go there, like, what you should know is that the memorabilia that's in these places is unreal.
Oh, yeah, man. And, like, if you go, like, I've been to that event, like, the last couple of years.
Okay.
It's not over.
Do you come on as Harry from Heaven?
Well, I did do some Harry with those guys the first year. I was part of the program. Yes, I did some. But it's a really cool event, and it's, like, it's not as, like, jam-packed and crazy as you'd think it is. Like,
okay.
You can get around and stuff, you know?
I thought there'd be some rowdy people drinking Budweisers.
Well, there are, and they should enjoy themselves. I mean, it's about a guy who drank a lot of Budweiser. So.
Yes, it is.
Really, that's what we're doing, this in the name of a man who drank a lot. But it is, it's hilarious, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll be there. May 2nd, Thursday, live broadcast is from 4 to 7. Make sure you guys come out. Toast with Jason Alexander begins at 5:30. Bulls pregame begins at 8:15. Tip-offs at 8:30. We're leading you right into that. It's Gabe and Grody. Got you for a couple more minutes, but did want to play some Billy Donovan pregame audio. He talked a lot about the game, and I want you to hear updates on Io and Andre Drummond and see the confidence level in Billy Donovan's voice. Here he is right now, Billy Donovan, head coach of the Chicago Bulls.
Do you have a status on Io and Andre?
Io's cleared to play, and Andre is going to be a game time decision after he goes through warm ups.
And when you say cleared to play, so obviously he responded well to the practice.
I think all the stuff, the medical, with the limited amount of practice time, so things that they did medically with him in terms of the running and some of the, you know, work with the player development staff, trying to play a little bit of full court, just the way he responded. They wanted to put him in some situations just to see how he would do. And, you know, in terms of how he responded, they feel good about where he's at. Now, I think the biggest thing is going to be, what does he look like? Because he hasn't had any practice once he gets out there.
You feel comfortable putting him out there?
Yeah, because medical's cleared him. Yeah.
Is there going to be any sort of minutes limit on him?
Not that I've been told, no.
Hey, Billy, with Drummond, I mean, obviously he's been so important for you guys, especially in the games against Atlanta. He's had some really good games against Atlanta. What does he bring when that's not there? What do you, as a coach looking in that rotation, what do you feel like, oh, we don't have that from you know, whatever's left of the bench?
Yeah, I mean, to your point there, he's been really good on the glass for us, getting extra possessions. I think there was one game where maybe Vooch didn't play and Andre played a lot of minutes and played really, really well in that game. But, you know, it's hard to make up the way he rebounds the ball because it's just what he does at such an elite level. And then certainly his rolling and his presence on rolls to the rim, you know, have been really, really good. You know, the rim protection piece has been really good. But I would just say his presence around the basket is something that I think in those games you felt with him and the impact he made. So I think it's hard to sit there and, you know, I don't know if just physically there's nobody on our team that can generate that, right? You know, we just don't have that.
This morning, DeMar talked a little bit about how when you guys are forced to kind of go small as you have when Andre's been out, just how that kind of ups the ante in terms of that pace being important. I know that's something that you guys struggled with throughout the season. Do you feel like you've kind of figured out how to improve and work on that pace with the group that you have right now?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Just if you're having to play small, do you feel like you guys know how and have figured out maybe a little bit more of how to figure out that pace?
Yeah, I mean, I think the pace part is fine. I think the pace is always going to be is how well we can defend. You know, like if we're giving up offensive rebounds, if we're fouling and the game gets slowed, it's going to be hard. You know, so when you are small out there, like in the New York situation, I think we got hurt one time with Hartenstein on an offensive rebound. We missed a block out. But when we were able to get stops, if we can get out in transition, that's where it's going to be most effective. You know, I think those guys have a good enough feel how to play. But I think when the defense does get set, you know, with our guys, because there's not like in that small lineup, there's really nobody that's a post presence, so to speak. And I think I mentioned to you guys maybe going into the Washington game when Andre was out and, you know, even the New York game, that it was an opportunity for us to kind of do some of that. And I do think the guys did a good job with it and they're smart enough to figure that out. But it's only going to be effective, in my opinion, of how well we can rebound and how well we can defend. And if we're not doing well, I think it would be really, really hard just size-wise. But it's the when the game gets into an open floor. And I feel very, very comfortable at the pace at which they can play with would be fine. And they'll, I think, do a good job with that.
This team feasts on second chance points. Now, they're obviously missing some guys that have helped in that throughout the regular season. But does that almost give you pause to use that small lineup too? Because you know how effective they are, or you might be forced to have dropped.
Yeah. I think a lot of it's going to be just in terms of rhythm and timing and playing. I mean, both those two guys have missed quite a bit of time. You know, this has not been like they missed a game and now they're back. I mean, it's been over 10 days since they've last played a game, and they missed the last three games. So, and there's really not been any kind of like break in the schedule where we've had like two or three days where we could really, really practice. So I just don't know where they're at physically. So I think some of it's going to be how is the game going and probably having to make decisions, you know, if Andre's trying to go and he's really just not able to run and move like he normally is capable of, I think you get caught, you know, potentially having to make a decision on that. I think the same thing could be said for Io. Certainly want to give them every opportunity to go out there and play and perform. Those guys have played well and they've really contributed and helped our team. But in this situation where it's one and done, I think you got to probably look at, you know, where are they at physically, because I just don't have any feel for that right now.
Hey, Billy, I mean, this front office, the last two trade deadlines has, you know, stayed pat, come out and explained why. And even the beginning of this year, it's always about improvement over last year, getting further. Has there been any discussion? I know for a coach, it's different. You're just trying to win the game and you don't really give a damn about public perception and stuff. But this front office would seemingly, this is an important stance for them to justify what they've done. Have you gotten that sense talking to Arturas that you know, look, we've got a lot on the line here, not just a play-in game. We're trying to kind of win public opinion back on this team.
You mean in terms of right now?
Yes.
They have not had to talk with me about that at all. No, I've not spoken to them. I mean, I do think that, like, and I think I've mentioned this to you guys, when there's, like, stuff that they need to talk to me about, they're always been really, really good about that. But that hasn't just been brought to me, like, conversation-wise at all.
Billy Donovan right there wrapping things up, giving us some good insight as to what was going on. The game's going to be a good one tonight. Shout-out to everybody that's on the way. Let me ask you, Grody, prediction, score, what you got?
I'm with the earlier caller of 62-59. Bulls win tonight. No, I will actually say Bulls win 113-101, which was the exact score the Hawks beat the Bulls by on April 1st, the last time these two teams hooked up at the United Center.
113-101. I think it's going to be a tight game, as most Bulls games are. I think it's going to be a defensive one. I'm going to go 109-107. Trae Young missing a three-pointer at the end. Bulls get the victory, and we see whoever wants to face us. It's tied up. Miami and Philly, 74 apiece, 11 minutes to go in the game. No, I want to thank our guest, Cody Westerlund, today. Fantastic job. I want to thank Leo Stadiker for doing a great job today, too.
Tyler, Leo Stadiker to the rack. Count it, the foul.
Nice.
He's a fast guy, so I believe he got fouled on the way to the rim.
Love it.
Groats, it's a pleasure as always, brother.
Yeah, man. And by the way, this man right here, Gabe Ramirez, will be my guest on the Daily Score. So tomorrow when you're waking up, I always send the link out. We're going to be talking about the Bulls game that we've been talking about a lot tonight. So we'll chat about it. We'll get you our raw feelings, and you'll hear about him in the morning.
He tells me the ride home is free and that the dinner is as well, and then he gets me on the podcast. Got me doing some overtime.
Ride home.
Yeah, what are you talking about? All right, Bulls basketball coming up next. Mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time, I am Gabe Ramirez. He is Mark Grody. We are G&G, and this is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.